Today's scripture reading will be from John chapter 12, verse 12 to 19. So please pull up your Bibles, your Bible apps, etc., or just follow along behind me. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done the sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Okay, wonderful. I'd like to invite Pastor Nathaniel up for message today. Thanks.
Hello. All right. Good morning. I always feel like my sermons are going to be terrible, but it's all in God's hands. And I prepared, and I was reading through this passage over and over again, and a verse that stood out to me was verse 25 of John chapter 12, and it talks about how those who love their life are going to lose it, and those that hate their life in this world are going to gain life eternal. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on today, is this idea that, what is this life about? What are we seeking after? What are we chasing after? And is what we're going after in our life, is it all going to come to a point where, yes, we gain so much, but we're going to lose it all? And I'm afraid that there's so many people in this world, not only in this world, but in our church, who are seeking after things that are so temporary, and it's going to be gone like a vapor in the wind. And it's like Solomon says over and over again in Ecclesiastes, you chase after women, you chase after riches, you chase after wisdom, you chase after fame and power and fortune, and you know what? It's all meaningless. And that's kind of where this message is going to go a little bit, and I just want to remind us this morning about what it's all about, and it's all about Jesus. Spoiler alert, that's the high point of my message. It's about Jesus. But I want to just go through a little bit. And so the question is, what do we want in this life? And I just want to share a little bit about my background and my story so you guys can get to know me a little bit. A lot of people think, they don't know what race I am. A lot of people think I'm Mexican. Even when I go to Mexico, people start speaking to me in Spanish, and I'm just like, I don't know. And but I'm just half Chinese and half white. When I was younger and my generation, we used to use AIM, Instant Messenger. My screen name was Asian Paco 7. Because people thought I looked Mexican. But no, my dad is Chinese, and his dad grew up in Shanghai. And his name is Walter, and I don't know his Chinese name. We call him Aya, and that's like our form of grandpa, I guess. But he grew up in Shanghai, and my dad was born in Hong Kong, and my grandpa basically lived out the American dream. He is a tailor, or was, he's retired, and he moved to Italy for a few years to study how to do tailoring from like the best like suit makers like in Italy and stuff, and so he trained there, and then he went to America. He opened up a shop in San Francisco right next to like one of the places where all the musicals happen, really big street, and so he opened up a store, and it just blew up, and it was really big, and my grandpa became really rich and powerful and famous. He has photos in his house where he's met with like all the presidents of China for like the last few presidents. He's met with like Bush and Reagan and all these U.S. presidents, and he's met with all these celebrities, and he made suits for all these people, and he talks about how like in China, like he helps like build like a lot of their roads and stuff. Like he's very well known there and really well respected. And he did it, you know, he made it to like the top. Like he is very well respected, and I remember when I was in high school, we visited his place in China, and the first place we stayed was just like in Beijing, and it was just like this, like he lived on like the top floor of an apartment. It was like pretty nice. And then we went to like his house, like I don't even know where it was, like near this island place, and he had like this giant house that looks like the White House, and it says Villa Fong across it. I should have brought a picture, but it's like humongous. It's like a mansion, and he has like these fountains with like red and blue colors streaming out of it and stuff. And it's like, what's going, like, who is this guy? I don't even know like where I came from, but it just shows like my grandfather is like, you wouldn't even know when you met him, because he is just, he doesn't act like pretentious and rich. He's so very humble and very, very generous. And you would, you kind of know, but kind of not at the same time. Like, he would always throw Chinese New Year's parties, and he'd invite like all of his coworkers, all of his friends, and all of our family, and it'd be at this really nice Chinese restaurant, and he'd get this room just for himself, and he's paying for everyone's meal, and they're like 12-course meals, and there's just like all this Chinese food. And being growing up, my mom is white. We never ate Chinese food. I don't like any of it. Like, my grandpa's spending all this money for all this food, and sometimes he'd buy us pizza and bring it to the Chinese restaurant. It's, like, really embarrassing. But that's how it was. My grandpa was a baller like that. He could get what he wanted. He'd just talk to the servants, say, do this and do that, and everything just happened for him. And he made it, you know? He lived out the American dream. He came from China poor. I had nothing, he had so many brothers and sisters, and none of them wanted to go to America, so he went by himself, and he made a name for himself. And now he's old, he's retired, I think he has some form of cancer, and he's coming to his like last years of life. And it's really sad, and just thinking about like, you know, like all this that he's gotten, like what has it come to? Right? One day it's, what happens, you know, to his empire, his legacy? It's like, the crazy part of this story, too, is that my dad is the third child of five from my grandfather, and he has two older brothers, one older sister, and a younger brother. He's the second child, fourth child. But my grandpa wanted my dad to take over his company, or his business. And even though he has older brothers and everything, but my dad didn't want it. He felt called to be a pastor and to be a minister. His sister was a Christian. She brought my dad to the faith, and my dad's like, you know, I want to pursue ministry. I think God's calling me to do ministry. And my grandpa was really upset at that. He disowned my dad, and he said, like, I'm not paying for any more of your school or anything. You're out. You're on your own. And my dad just kept trying, and so he's doing it on his own. And then my grandpa saw how committed my dad was to the faith, that, like, hey, like, you're taking this seriously, you're not begging for money, you're not trying to come back, you're trying to make it on your own, like, I see how serious you are, you're welcome back into the family. And he supported him again. And this business is now, like, completely gone. None of the older brothers or anything, they all worked for him their whole lives. Like, they worked at his store every single day, and but now it's gone. And he only wanted my dad to do it for whatever reason. And the world, all of it could have been my father's. But he's like, this isn't what I'm called for. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's just a little bit about my background, and it ties a little bit into the story, right? When we're in this life, what are we seeking and what are we going after? And some good news is my grandpa, I believe he's Christian now. It's hard to tell, you know, during these times, but he's claimed to have become Christian. We notice that he has Bibles in his house now, and he, whether that means anything, it's pretty important to us, and we think it's pretty cool, and we're praying for him. But he's realizing, you know, at this point, it's like, in my life, what is it all about? And he's trying to find meaning, and this is why I think he sees, like, from my family, and there's a couple of my other relatives who are Christian, like, hey, maybe I should look into this and check this out. And, yeah, he's trying to find what the meaning of this life is. What is the purpose of it? Let's pray, and I'll dig into the text, and I'll show how this relates a little bit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we are so thankful that there is someone who gives us meaning and purpose in this life, that God, that there is a way past death, that there is a way past sin, that there is a way past the temporary life that this world has to offer. And Lord, we just pray that we continue to seek you and seek your kingdom first. And Lord, that we wouldn't seek all the things, because those things will be added after we find you. And so, Lord, help us to keep focused on you. Help us to be reminded that, Lord, that you have called us for something greater than what this world has to offer. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. We're going to be in John chapter 12. If you want to turn your Bibles there, you could just follow along the screen. I'm just going to read it for you. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these people came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So what's going on, right? These Greeks, so random, okay? These Greek people want to come and talk to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't even know what they want to talk about, right? The disciples are like, "Hey, some Greeks want to talk to you." And the disciples are like, "Oh, let's tell some other disciple." Disciples, "Okay, let's go tell Jesus." And they tell Jesus. And you never know what the Greeks were actually interested in. It doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, tell us how we get eternal life. Tell us what this life's about. Oh, like, how did you resurrect Lazarus from the dead," which is right before this. We don't know, and Jesus just starts talking. And this is what Jesus tells them. He says, "Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And I'd like to think that Jesus is telling them a really important life lesson. These Greeks, right, they're not Jewish. They're not from, they don't know Scripture. They don't know the Bible. They don't know, like, what's going on. And Jesus is saying, "Hey, like, you notice that I've resurrected Lazarus from the dead. That's why you're here. Crowds are following him because everyone's hearing that Jesus raised somebody from the dead." And he's like, "That's great. I'm glad you're here. And, like, let me just get to you the short of it, because I'm about to die soon. The hour's coming. I'm going to be put down, and I'm going to be brought back up for your benefit. There's going to be lots of fruit. But this is what you need to know about this life, is that whoever loves his life is going to lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world is going to keep it forever." And when it says, like, "hates your life," I don't think it's like a teenage, like, "Oh, I hate my life. My life sucks." And, you know, like, it's not like that. It's not saying you have to live a miserable life on earth, okay? I think what it's talking about is, like, a worldly life. Your life that's, like, within the system of this world, right? Where it's, like, about, like, success, and it's about girls and money and riches and fame and power, whatever it is. He's saying those who love that kind of life are going to lose it. Right? Like, if my grandpa, if that's all it built up to, just everything he earned and achieved in this life, he's going to lose it all. He's going to die. There's not life eternal for this person if he doesn't believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter how much money you've saved up. It doesn't matter how rich and how powerful and how famous you became in this life. Where does it all go? You're going to lose it. Everything. No one's going to remember you eventually. All your money, it's gone. This company you built, it's gone. A new building's going to come there. Greater, better suits than my grandpa's suits are going to show up. And no one's going to remember the suits that he made. Those who love their life are going to lose it. And now I want to take a little bit of a look at the people who love their lives in this world and what that looks like. Okay? And this is all going to be in the chapter 21 of John. And so it's all in context, okay? And we have to start by looking at the person of Judas, okay? It starts in this story in John chapter 21, verse 3. "Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said, this is not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me. Okay? Oh, stay here. Okay, so Judas, right? This is very, very worldly living, right? He doesn't care, even says, like, they know, like, his inner thoughts. It's so weird. The disciples, like, can write about things, like, he didn't actually care about the poor at all. He just cared about himself. He used to be in charge of the money bag, and he'd always skim a little bit off the top and say, hey, I'm keeping this for me. Like, one for you, two for me, one for you, two for me, kind of thing. And he's doing this, right? He's been doing this his whole life. And he sees all of a sudden, hey, here's an opportunity where a lot of this money could be mine. This expensive oil, this expensive perfume, like, hey, don't waste this on Jesus. This is a disciple of Jesus, someone who's been following his whole life. Like, how dare he say, like, Jesus isn't, like, worth this, right? But his mind is so caught up in the life of this world, like, he's like, this is what I want. I'm chasing the world. I want money. And we see that again, right, when he betrays Jesus for, like, 30 shekels of silver, whatever it is, right? You can tell by the life he's living that he's seeking after his own self-gain. That's all he wants. And you know, he literally is going to lose his life, right? He ends up killing himself. It's like, he didn't even get the chance to spend all this money. He's like, ripping off the people. He can't even live with himself. Like, what was the point of it? What was he chasing after? It all went to nothing. The next people are the chief priests and the Pharisees. Did I put the verses right? So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. I'm skipping ahead or back a little bit. The crowd that had been with him when he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The chief priests and the Pharisees, what are they concerned about? Everyone else seems to be concerned about, look at this guy, he's raising people from the dead, that's awesome! And that should be making everyone excited and like, wow, like, how can you get angry at a guy for healing someone from the dead? How can your response be, hey, I want to kill that guy and kill the guy he raised from the dead? That's so sick and twisted, right? Like, if you go and see, like, a doctor, like, healing people, and then, like, how messed up do you have to be like, oh, everybody likes him. He's doing such a good job. He's such a good person. Like, you know, like, it's so worldly. It's like this jealousy. It's like, hey, I want the followers. We used to be the big dogs on campus. Everyone used to follow us. We're the church leaders. We know this stuff. All these Jews should be following me. They used to follow me. Now, look, they're saying to one another, look, the world has gone after him. What have you gained? You have nothing now. This verse on the bottom, verse 19, is really close to verse 25, and I think they're supposed to be in like conjunction to one another, right? He's saying, those who love their life are going to lose it. Look, it's gone away. They love this world. They love the world. But the world is leaving them and it's going to Jesus. To someone who doesn't even care about the world. But what are they seeking, right? Everything is just about them and getting up in this life, in this world, and they love it. This is what their life is all about. And that's a really sad life. Because in this life, it's just full of up and downs. And you know what? Eventually, you're going to lose it all. There's nothing left for them. Who cares how many followers you have at the end if you don't have life eternal? What was the point? Now we're going to look at the flip side. The people who understood, okay? Those that hate the life of this world. Okay, we just looked at the story of Mary, right? With Judas being really upset about the ointment. If Mary really cared about the life of this world, she could sell that ointment and take the money for herself. She could use that perfume on herself. But no, what did she do? She lowered herself, humbled herself into like a position of a servant. Saying, hey, you know what? This life, it's not about me. And she actually understood it's all about Jesus. Saying, he is worth it. He is worth my everything. My most expensive perfume, it's yours, and I'm going to use my hair to wipe your feet. That's kind of humiliating. That's kind of like very lowly, and like, that's very out of this world. Who in their right mind does that, right? But I think Mary understood. Because we also see that in Luke chapter 10. I didn't write it down, but it's the story of Mary and Martha, right? Martha was busy doing like all the dishes and all the housework, and said she had so much anxiety and worrying about all the worries of this world. But Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus. Mary only had one focus, and that was Jesus. And so Mary comes and starts complaining to Jesus, Jesus, have Mary help me. Help me do all this stuff. There's so much preparation, all this work that needs to be done. And he's saying, no, Mary has chosen correctly. And that will not be taken away from her. Mary understood it. She's like, forget all the, like, work and stuff is fine, okay? I'm not saying it's bad. Even what my grandpa did, trying to build up the stuff, like, that's fine. It's not sin. It's not evil, okay? But where is it leading to? What are you doing with that? Is it just to build up your kingdom? Or is it to build up a kingdom that has eternal value? And Mary understood this. She knew it was all about Jesus. And I can guarantee you that when we go to heaven one day, we'll see Mary there. That's someone I want to talk to. Jesus loves Mary and Lazarus and Martha. They're such good friends. They seem like such chill people. And like, they just get it, you know? Like, there's something about them that Jesus loves these people. They understand who Jesus is and what his life's about. When even all of his disciples who have been following him their whole lives, like, didn't get it until after his death and resurrection. But she knew. Even in the other story where they're raising Lazarus from the dead, Martha says, yes, I know who you are. You are like the Lord of the resurrection. They know who Jesus is, and they know what he's capable of. It's like, this is why they're with him all the time. They know that there's eternal life to be had when they're with Jesus. And the resurrection of Lazarus physically is just solidifies that. Like, this is the man you want to be with. He can raise people from the dead. Why do we want to kill someone like this? It's because our worldly life is trying us away. It's like so messed up and twisted. And I'm scared that that's what happens in our lives. It's like we can get so caught up in wanting to be so successful or so worldly driven that we don't really care what happens to Jesus. Kill him for all we care. You know, as long as my life is still comfortable and good. As long as I get into that good college, as long as I have this good job and my family's safe and healthy, I don't really care. Like, you wouldn't say that out loud, but honestly, right? It's like, we don't really care until our lives are going into a wreck and they're like, God, like, why? Why did you do this? Or whatever. You don't actually believe, like, oh, like, maybe it's like, who cares because I have this whole life eternal and everything, I have this kingdom built up for me. We don't believe that. We only believe it when our life is really good. What are we seeking after? The other person who hates his life with this world is Jesus. Okay? Sorry, it's really small. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came down from heaven, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Right? For this purpose, Jesus came. For this purpose, what is his purpose? It was to die. It was to die in this worldly life so that God could be glorified. He doesn't say, "Save me from this hour." No, I came for this hour. I came for this very reason. He didn't see that the life of this world is something to seek after, right? He had all the crowds following him. He could have been really rich and powerful. He could have done all the temptations Satan tempted with, like been king over all the world, all these things. No, but he lowered himself into a servant, into the form of man. And not only that, he suffered the worst possible death as a man. Because he wasn't seeking out the life of this world, but he's seeking to glorify God. The purpose of this life is to glorify God's name. Jesus' death glorifies God, and that makes all the suffering he will endure on the cross worth it. Okay? Jesus is saying, "Don't take this away from me. I've come for this hour. It's worth it. My life is worth God's being glorified." Right? "Is my soul troubled? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this purpose, I've come for this very hour. I've come for this very reason." So what's glory, right? If our life is about glorifying God, what's glory? Glory is kind of a weird word. I can't fully demonstrate it, but there's this sense of like weightiness, this essence, the very essence of who God is. It's something that's like, wow. And when you glorify something, it's like, wow, wowing something. Like, we see God's essence, we see who he is, and it's like, whoa. And that's going to be seen through the death of Jesus. Because not only is there going to be death, but there's going to be resurrection. Whoa. The very essence of God is with this man, Jesus. Only God lives eternally. And now God's saying, look, this person's going to live eternally too. And after that, guess what? We're going to be invited into that. God's glory is going to be among us. And we're going to take a look at this in the next few verses. How does Jesus' death and resurrection glorify God? And the first thing is, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Okay? What's happening is when the world's being judged, basically through Jesus' death and resurrection, we're seeing there are those who believe in Jesus and those who don't. Right? Justice is going to be served through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus are going to be found righteous, blameless, a holy priesthood, a holy nation. They're going to be with God. This brings glory to God. Like, wickedness will be served what they deserve, and the righteous are going to be saved. He's a righteous God, and this is going to happen, right? And this just shows like his glory. He is a righteous, good judge, and everything will that needs to happen is going to happen. The wicked will get what is coming to them, and the righteous will get what is coming to them. And we're only righteous through the blood of Jesus, right? We only have this opportunity because Jesus says, "I will pay the price for your sin." The second one, now will the ruler of this world be cast out. God is glorified through Satan's being cast out of this world. Is Satan still here today? Yeah, right? We still suffer some of his like infliction in this world and the stuff that's going on. But you know what? Satan, the accuser, can't accuse you anymore. because Jesus has paid for your sins. You are holy and righteous. He has no say in where you're going to end up in the life eternal. He can't control that. Because Jesus dealt with that. He took him out. Death, where is your sting? Right? Sin, where is your power? Satan, you got nothing on me anymore. Jesus dealt with that. He's cast out. God's glory is being seen here. And when I am lifted up from earth, all the people will be drawn to myself. I believe that the death of Jesus and like his resurrection has this gravity effect to it. It's like drawing people to it. You just see the magnificence of what God has done. Like he's raised someone from the dead. And all these people are going to be drawn. They're seeing it. All these people are going to start believing right after this. We see in Acts thousands and thousands of people that are all seeing what Christ is doing. And finally, right, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. I need to do this illustration. My teacher, when he was trying to teach me about what glory was, he said that one time he went to Paris, right? And there's the Eiffel Tower. And he said, when it's nighttime, it lights up like this. And he says, every 30 minutes or so, 15 minutes, I don't know. I've never been there. I don't know how it works. He says, every once in a while, at night, every so often, all the lights just start glittering and shining like crazy, and it's like a giant light show on this Eiffel Tower. He said, that's like the glory of France. Like, it's the very essence of what it is, and it's just like, whoa, like, wow. And it just starts going off. And I think this is kind of what it means, for us to be children of light. That God's glory is within us now. And we are beacons of God's glory wherever we go. Our life is filled with the life of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And God's glory is being reflected out into the world, into the darkness. Our light is shining. His glory is seen through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus came for this hour, for this reason, so that God's glory could be made known. And a part of that plan is working through us. His glory, his being, God is within us. And the world can see that now. I'm going to end really soon, so I want to go back a little bit, right? So it all started with these Greeks, and we had no idea what they wanted to ask. Who are these Greek people? Why are they even in this story, right? It's like Jesus could have said, and Jesus said this thing to the people. No, I like to think that it's possible that we don't know what happens to them. And that we are supposed to relate to these characters. Okay? Jesus is telling you right now this life lesson. If you chase the life of this world, you're going to lose it. But those who hate this life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If you give it all up and you seek Jesus just like Mary did, right? You will be honored. And where Jesus is, you will be also. You know where Jesus is right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And it says, I think it's Ephesians, Colossians, we are sitting up there right now spiritually with him. We have been lifted up and we're sitting right there with him. You are co-heirs with Christ. Talk about honor. You think only Jesus deserves this. You know, he went through and bore all this and he's sitting he deserves this, you know? He's such a good guy. But God is saying, that seat's reserved for you too. You will be lifted up with him. You will be honored. Where Jesus is, you will be also. If you seek him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. It's all yours. This is the message I like to do a lot. But how do you seek the kingdom? Right? I know I tell this joke all the time. But a kingdom without a king is dumb. Okay? So if you want to find the kingdom, you have to find the king. Seek first the king. Where do you find righteousness? In his righteousness. Righteousness is found at Jesus at the cross. You don't have righteousness without him. Okay? There's no way. There's no amount of good works you could do. Seek first Jesus and then seek Jesus. And when you find him, all these things are yours. You are co-heirs with him. You're adopted into God's family. You're inheritors of everything he has. It's all yours. Seek first Jesus. You will be honored. Where Jesus is, you will be there. These are just some questions I thought about. Whoops. Do you sit at the feet of Jesus? Like Mary, right? Or are you so busy with all the responsibilities of this world? God, help these people. They should be doing what I'm doing. I'm working so hard. I'm doing so great. You know, I'm serving you. I'm making, preparing all the food, doing all the dishes. I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing. And you know what? That's good. We need to do those things, okay? It's not, the point's not saying don't ever do those things. No, that's fine, but do we lose track of Jesus when we're thinking about these things? Like, which one has eternal value? Like, if you had to choose one or the other in certain situations, where are you going to go? Right? Do you break the bank and go all out for Jesus? Right? Mary, once again, right? This ointment, this stuff, it's like, it's all for you, God. I'm banking everything I have in what you're saying, that I will be honored. That there's a life eternal for waiting for me. So I can give up everything I have now because I know that you're going to give it all right back to me. Or are we using that like Judas, right? We're just building up our own kingdoms. I'm just trying to get all the money where I can. I'm taking what's mine. And in the end, you're just going to lose it. Believe in the light while it's among you. Do you believe in what Jesus is saying? He's here with you right now. Believe in it. That's the whole premise of the book of John, is belief. Do you believe in him? Do you believe what he's saying? I am, all the great I am statements are all in John. Like, I am living water and I am the bread and I am these things. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you'll never thirst again? Jesus is calling you. He told those Greeks, hey, come follow me. Jesus right now is telling you, asking you, come follow me. And just like the story, we don't know what happened to the Greeks. I don't know if they followed Jesus or not. And that same question, that same thing that Jesus responded to them, he's asking you right now, come follow me. Will you answer the call? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you just for the stories of all these different characters in this wonderful world, Lord. God, I pray that we would be humble enough to see that oftentimes in these stories in the Bible, Lord, that we are the bad characters. That God, that we can admit that, God, there's so many times that we are like Judas, or we are like the Pharisees, and we're seeking things of this world. And Lord, I pray that these passages would just speak to our hearts, Lord, that it would remind us of your Son Jesus and what he's done for us. That God, that it's never too late to turn away from these things and to start following you. Lord, I pray that, we could just really examine our lives and just see that, Lord, that you have caused so much goodness and change in our hearts. That God, that we would listen to the Holy Spirit's inside of our hearts crying out, Abba, Father. Lord, it's crying out for the thing we need more than anything. It's crying out, telling us what we need to seek first. So Lord, I pray that we would listen to our spirit, that we would be obedient, that we would follow and be guided by you and you alone, that we would seek first your kingdom. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.